Get your teeth loose with the best hockey coverage possible. This is Hockey Central on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Today at Hockey Central at noon, Alexander Ovechkin scheduled to join us coming off his sixth 50-goal season. Washington Capitals knocking on the door of a home ice playoff position in the Metropolitan Division. That's coming up, plus the St. Louis Blues story as they slide the other way, and we'll get into the Canadian content. One thing we should get out of the way right off the bat is Darren Millard along with Nick Kiprios and Doug MacLean. We applauded Gerard Gallant and John Cooper for joining us yesterday on game days.
They won't do that again. They won't do that again.
No. It's not going to happen again. Yeah.
You think ownership's going, what are you doing on game day?
And we know all the owners watch the show.
Yes.
So we did appreciate them stopping by.
They get it on their yachts.
Yes. The Florida Panthers lost to the Boston Bruins, and the Toronto Maple Leafs beat the Tampa Bay Lightning. Maybe the most significant result was the Winnipeg Jets failing to get a point against the New York Rangers. Third time in the last couple of weeks where, in this era of three-point games, Winnipeg's given up a late goal and forced to settle for nothing. And you add to it potential suspension to Dustin Byfuglien. How bad did you think it was, and how bad do you think it will be for Dustin Byfuglien?
I thought it was bad. I didn't like it a little bit. It was a vicious cross check to the neck. You know, the guy was in a vulnerable position. I think he gets nailed. I didn't like it at all. I don't know what caused it.
All he had to do was the same motion.
Right.
Like, his numbers, not above the nameplate, but just in the back.
Yeah. And half as hard.
If he's just in his back, he's fine.
Why do anything? He's on the ice. Why do anything? Well, I didn't like it. I
frustration is the answer for that.
Totally. So, you know, but still, it's going to hurt them. I mean, they lose him first to injury for a long time, which hurt,
This time of year.
He's toast right now.
Against Chicago. He took the penalty off of Shaw, and then, you know, the extra glove in the face. And, you know, there's a fine line between attitude and making a bad choice on the ice that could cost your team a power play goal.
And then maul the guys in the corner at the end with 38 or so seconds left and nullified any chance of you know, tying it up with his penalty late. So not a good night
late
for Dustin.
Losses. And the points that may come back and haunt you.
You know what?
St. Louis, Chicago, and last night.
When you're down to the last 7 minutes and you're tied, you got to get the point. Your focus has got to be, let's get the point, and then we take our chance in OT and in overtime.
And I'm sure it is.
Yeah, but I mean, the number of teams that have blown games late is, you know, I mean, you look at the Panthers last night. They needed to get that point, and you get within a minute, and then you lose it. So it's frustrating.
What a difference between Winnipeg and Vancouver, who managed to get points create points.
Eddie Lack was really struggling. Like Eddie, I talked to John Garrett quite a bit during the game. You know, we were doing it, and it was
he was struggling. Made the save on Seth Jones that you have to make.
What he did,
and he preserved at least the point.
What he did is he was shaky at first in a back-to-back, and then a 5-minute major to Burrows, and he made three or four big saves to preserve the win.
That's right,
and get it. You know, get it to a point where they could get the extra point. That includes a 4-on-3 in OT.
And that's what your goaltenders have to do. Yep. And, you know, as much as you can say it's been a great year in Florida and Luongo's been a big part of that, he needed to make the save. It was a 1-on-5.
I know.
On Lucic with a 40-foot wrist shot that beats him 5-hole. Right. That can't go in. No. You need to get your team that point, like Eddie Lack was able to preserve that going into an overtime.
Especially when you're going home, 5 in a row at home, and you've got Boston in one of those five, and you got Jersey at the end of the season, and you got a beat-up Tampa team, you know, and you got some people that may be resting people. That's the frustrating part. Got to give Lucic credit, eh? I mean, look, Lucic, he took some heat, but in that game, goal and assist, big plays, wow, big points.
You know what,
he came
too,
through. He's come through in the last month.
And
for
a lot
this
of
team.
People saying that maybe even the game's gone to another level with your skating, and he's a step behind.
Guess
I tell
what?
You what, you watch that play, and you watch him come off the. Yep. Off the wall, yep, cut up the middle of the ice, make a little bit of a move here, buy himself some room for that shot, and you go,
I still really like him.
I think his game's okay.
And a month he's been doing it.
We have Alexander Ovechkin coming up in just a moment, Washington Capitals forward. He has more goals than anyone since 01-02. Rookie season was 05-06. But here's our good friend Jeremy Rutherford from the St. Louis Post-Dispatch. How's Ken Hitchcock doing these days, having lost 5 of 6?
he's I'm standing about 30 feet from him. He's at the dry erase board, and he's parking pretty good.
Is he lecturing the media or his players?
The players. They're on the ice right now, the team is. And so, this has been a tough stretch for the Blues, 1-3-2 in their last 6, and not the way they wanted to be.
I got to apologize.
The regular season.
Jeremy, I have to apologize. I looked at my list of guests, and I thought it was Jimmy Rutherford coming on. I was all excited because he's a friend of mine. But, I mean, it's nice to
get Jeremy could be your friend, too, right, Jeremy?
Is it good that they're going through this now, though? Because we've seen them struggle key times in the
last games before the playoffs start. This is a great time.
Is it a chance for Ken Hitchcock to get control of the team?
He does that on a regular basis all year.
What makes you think he's not?
I think he tries to do that on a regular basis.
I've
worked with him. Jeremy, here's the bigger issue. Their goaltending going into the playoffs is always a question mark. You know, obviously last year they make the Miller move, and then they come back to the same two guys that they brought Miller, not really Allen, but brought Miller in to replace. Is that a big question that's going on there, along with the Tarasenko injury?
Yeah, I think the goaltending has to be a question. Here's a guy that they've looked over on multiple occasions, Brian Elliott. He was the backup to Yaroslav Halak, and then when they felt like Halak wasn't their guy, they turned to Ryan Miller. And then this past offseason, after they lose to Chicago in the first round, they say, you know what, maybe Brian Elliott is our guy. And so, you know, 76 games, I've been around the league all season, and the first thing that people bring up when the Blues come to town is, can Brian Elliott really take you deep into the playoffs? So I think it remains to be seen. His regular season numbers have been terrific the last 4 years here in St. Louis, but, he hasn't had a lot of playoff opportunity.
Just before we ask Jeremy another question, I'm told it's a phone hearing for Bufflin, so it doesn't appear that he may... it might not cost him the rest of the regular season.
That's great. 10:30 tomorrow morning.
Jeremy, we go down a list of potential coaching vacancies maybe by midsummer. Would St. Louis be in a position to look for another guy? Is that where we are? Is that the crossroads with Hitchcock here and what happens in the first round of the playoffs, second round?
Yeah, no, I think it's another one that remains to be seen. It's a situation where he's in the last year of his contract. Last offseason, they only decided to pick up this mutual option. And so after the playoff failure in the past couple of years, I think a lot will probably ride on how long the Blues last in the postseason. Now, Doug Armstrong has said all the right things. He said that Ken Hitchcock will coach here as long as he wishes. He'll have a role here with the organization after he's done coaching, so on and so forth. Ken Hitchcock, by the way, has said it's a year-to-year thing. We'll address it in the offseason, how I feel. But he did come out in the St. Louis Post-Dispatch today and say, I want to come back. I'm invigorated. I definitely want to come back next year, regardless of what happens. But I think that's going to be determined by what happens with the Blues in the playoffs.
Yeah, there's no doubt that that's what it hinges on. And I get that Hitch wants to come back, and I get all that. The question is, if this happens, and, you know, you hope that they win a couple of rounds and things are fine there, but if this happens, where do they go for their next coach? Is Kirk Muller the guy? Or, I mean, he's already had a chance in Carolina, was okay. I mean, where do they go that they're going to do better?
They've been a top five regular season team under Ken Hitchcock. It just hasn't happened in the playoffs. Where do they go to do better than that, to get a guy who can take them further in the playoffs? I mean, who is it? I know Bradshaw's been on this staff. He's the associate head coach, but they have passed him over on a couple occasions, and then they bring Kirk Muller in as an assistant. And a lot of people, when that move was made, said that maybe Kirk Muller is the heir apparent to Ken Hitchcock. You know, who's available? Who do they like? Obviously, you hear about the Babcock stuff throughout the league. I don't know who's going to be available, and I don't know that there's somebody out there who Doug Armstrong says that's the guy.
Yeah.
He's better than what we have.
Jeremy Rutherford is with us from the St. Louis Post-Dispatch and Hockey Central at noon. Reminder, Alexander Ovechkin coming up in just a couple of moments with Darren Millard, Nick Kiprios, and Doug McLean. What outside of goaltending, what has to be better in the last five, six games compared to what they produced in the last few games in March?
They honestly, I know this is probably the case with a number of teams, got to have more urgency, more desperation. They're playing teams the past couple of games. Columbus is playing terrific. Vancouver just coming in, and it's looking like boys against men. The Blues aren't just aren't showing that desperation. The other thing, guys, and it's something I failed to touch on earlier, are the injuries. You remember they lost the last six of the regular season down the stretch last year, and it cost them. They lost the division, had to play Chicago in the first round, and lost. A lot of that had to do with key injuries. Well, now here we are again. Last stretch, and you're without Alexander Steen and Tarasenko, both not on the ice today. Tarasenko, they confirmed that he's out with a lower body injury. He took that hit by Bieksa a couple nights ago. So you're without two of your best players, probably your two best players, and no timetable on their return.
We all saw Tarasenko as being a great young up-and-comer, but did anybody see him becoming their best player?
I think people looked at Tarasenko and said he has the skills to be their best player. It was just a situation where he was raw the past couple of years, making the transition to North America, smaller ice, so on and so forth. But he's shown this year in particular that he is one-shot offense. He gets across the blue line, he releases it, there's a chance to go in. The Blues haven't had that type of player in years and years and years. It's what separated him last year, I think, against the Chicago Blackhawks, among a couple other things. But he's the guy. He's the go-to guy.
Is his deal up, Jeremy, as a restricted free agent?
Yes, it is. He's an entry-level.
I'll throw this out. Mac, is he one of those guys that can skip that bridge contract? And would you consider signing him to a 6 or 7 year deal for $45-50 million?
Totally. And they're going to be faced with the same thing every other team is faced with when you got a superstar Russian, you know, leverage, and they'll skip that and try to get it done. I mean, Doug Armstrong's played hardball with some of his guys in the past, but this is one I wouldn't fool with.
And Max, exactly right. Doug has been the king of these bridge deals. He's gotten a lot of players to agree to him, but this is a situation where I think they want to sign Tarasenko long term, and they haven't had conversations. To my knowledge, Mike Leuch, his agent, Octagon, and they said they'll address it at the end of the season. But to me, it's got to be a long-term deal.
Defense. You know, people rave about the way this team is built with Pietrangelo, Bouwmeester, and on and on. Is it developed the way, Jeremy, you envisioned it would? It's, you know, you looked at a couple of guys there that should be, you know, potentially stars in the league.
Yeah, you know, they made the trade in the offseason, Roman Polak for Carl Gunnarsson, and they're following the analytics, and they want the puck possession. But in that Chicago series, I think a lot of people left the playoffs with the taste in their mouth that the Blues weren't physical enough, and then all of a sudden they give up their most physical guy, Polak, for Gunnarsson. And so the Blues, I think on paper, really liked what they had. You're talking Bouwmeester and Pietrangelo and Shattenkirk and Gunnarsson. You're really going to get the puck out of the zone. And I don't think they've played the way that they envision. And if you don't get the puck out of the zone fast and other teams handle you physically, then you really get exposed. And I think that's happened against some of these tougher teams. Interestingly, Carl Gunnarsson is the odd man out today in practice. Robert Bortuzzo, who they picked up from Pittsburgh at the trade deadline, is in the top six. So it looks like a change with the Blues as they put Bouwmeester and Pietrangelo back together in practice. So, no, the defense, I don't think, has played as a whole, the way this team envisioned. They got to be better getting the puck out, better transition. They got the names, they got the salaries, but they haven't done the job, I think, like we hoped.
Two games against Chicago down the stretch in the final six, an opportunity to take back that home ice advantage. Thanks for doing this, Jeremy.
Thanks, Jeremy.
Hey, thanks, guys.
Jeremy Rutherford from the St. Louis
Post-Dispatch.
Here is
Doug.
The only 50-goal scorer in the National Hockey League this season is Alexander Ovechkin. Sixth time you've done it. Congratulations, Ovi.
Yeah, thank you very much, guys.
Does this one feel any different than the last few? Because your play this year has been applauded from top to bottom.
Every time, like, going to score 50, it's hard, obviously. And Six times in my career. It's a big, pretty big number. So, again, the names up there, it's pretty amazing. And, you know, it's very fun, very pleasure for me to be there, you know, too.
Ovi, your play has been exceptional, no doubt about it. The Barry Trotz factor has been talked about a lot. What about Backstrom? How much better has he been, and how much an impact has he had on your performance?
Probably 80% of his game is it's important for me and for this team. Like, he's our number one guy on both ends, offense and defense. Important face of Hill, he's always gonna take it. You know, he's play a huge role for our team and for me as well.
Ovi, what is it, six in NHL history, and you're up now with names like Gretzky, Lemieux, Bossy. Is it hard not to get a little emotional when you think about what you've been able to accomplish?
Well, right now we're in kind of a position when all my emotions go to think about the playoffs and think about the next game. But you're right. Like, you know, it's emotional time for me, for my family, for this organization as well. So I'm pretty sure we're going to have a time to celebrate when everything's going to be over.
Ovi, at this stage of your career, you know, the 50 goals is great. Scoring championships, great. But it's got to be all about the Stanley Cup. And your team has played well at times. Are they ready to take a step this year at playoff time?
Yeah, you're right. Sometimes we play well, sometimes we don't play well. But the most important thing is just clinch the playoffs and, you know, fight every game out there. And because you never know what's going to happen in the playoffs. You know, right now all our things and all our thoughts and next game against Montreal, get 2 points and, you know, feel more comfortable down the stretch. And like I said, right now everybody focusing on the playoffs and Stanley Cup.
Alexander Ovechkin has more goals than anyone since 2001-2002, and he didn't come into the league until 2005-2006. And he joins us on Hockey Central at noon with Darren Millard, Nick Kiprios, and Doug McLean. I don't know whether you think of things in these terms, but is this your most complete season?
It's not almost my complete season. It's just the team-wise, you can see how awful lines play. And, you know, the system that we have, you know, it's working for everybody. And, again, my plus-minus, it's much better than last year, obviously. And, you know, it's better at this point. So I'm just do my job and how I said,
Ovi,
my job to do something what I can do best, you know, score goals and help my team to win.
A couple of years ago, there was questions, is Ovechkin going to bounce back? Is Ovechkin going to get back to being the superstar in the league?
Yeah, when you forget to flush me.
What? So what's changed? Like, you look like a much better player right now.
I think it's just the experience what I have. You know, when in your career, I've always going up and down, and you just take this experience and you move forward. How I said, my teammates helped me a lot. This organization helped me a lot to grow up. And, you know, how I said, it's huge year for us. You know, we're going to do our best to get to success.
What about Barry Trotz?
He's good.
No more wrestling with the candy machine to take the chocolate bars out with Ted, eh? You're done with all that?
You never know what's going to happen in the future. So,
Alex, it used to be when I was a kid growing up, much older than you, 50 goals was a very, very magic number in the NHL. And then Jari Kurri and Brett Hall, that number started becoming, and Gretzky and Lemieux, 70 and 80, and now all of a sudden 50 is a magic number again. It's a huge accomplishment. Can you talk a little bit about how hard it is in today's game to score 50 goals once again?
I just talked yesterday about it, and, you know, it's very hard right now in this league. I can remember my first year. I don't get those attentions, you know. I didn't play against the best pair of D out there, but right now, every year, my line and, you know, play against the best PK forwards, defensive forwards, and, you know, the system for most of the teams and play defense. And sometimes it's kind of, you have to wait one chance to put puck in, and if you don't use it, basically you don't get success as an individual, as a team. So every time, I said, every time you go there and you just hope for one chance, maybe two, maybe three, and you know, if you have it, you have to put it in. How I said, the goalie right now is much bigger, much stronger, much faster, and you know, it's very hard to get a shot on that because first of all, the D stay right in front of you and
the block shots. Even getting a puck through is a heck of an accomplishment.
How many guys block his shot?
Is even 50 goals harder today, Ovi, than it was 5 or 6 years ago when you did it?
100%.
Wow.
Are you different as a player? Are you better as a player than you were when you came into the league? And how so?
I just said get matured as a player. You know, I said my first couple of years, it was an emotion year. You know, you... because your team is not get success, you just play to statistics and all that kind of stuff. Right now, you think the first thing is a team success, and that's the most important thing right now for me.
Twice in 1 year in Hockey Central at noon. We appreciate it. It kind of takes the sting out of not winning the car at the All-Star Draft, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's kind of
fun. You know, you can still go in and buy one, too, you know.
Yeah, it's true, but let's not talk about
Save your money, Ovi. Save your money, bud.
Thanks for doing this, and congratulations.
Yeah, congratulations.
Yeah, thank you very much, guys.
Thank you.
50-goal scorer, Alexander Ovechkin on Hockey Central at noon, the day after he hits the magical mark again.
So I was working with PJ Stock last week on Hockey Night in Canada. He's like, we're talking about the power play, Washington's power play, and they're like, why don't they just stand in front of him at the top of the circle? And it's like, I think that might have crossed a few teams' strategy over the last few years. It's just, no matter how easy it looks to do it, he still puts himself in a position to get the puck through.
But if he gets it on net, they're not stopping it. It's amazing how many times he scored from that position. Everybody knows the plan. Everybody adjusts to it. Everybody tries to do it. But he gets it away so quick, and it's so hard, and it's so accurate.
But why not just put somebody shadow on
it? I think because, you know, he'd be fine with it because all you would do is create a four-on-three everywhere else.
And Backstrom's,
that opens up your odds even more to score.
And Backstrom's too good to do that with. That's the biggest problem because Backstrom will find people. And
but you make somebody else beat you instead of...
Right. And the other thing is, if you get in front of a shot, you get broken bones.
Mm-hmm. That hurts.
That hurts. Mm. That hurts.
I assume. I've never broken a bone.
You know what? I'm excited for him. I'm pissed off Nash didn't get it, but, you know.
Well, crank it up.
Crank it up, Nash. Sure,
I'm going to check later on today how many... He has more goals than how many guys have points in the National Hockey League.
It's amazing.
But 50 is...
Just the company.
It's
50 is back to being
how hard,
that.
Yeah, like, wow. You know what's going to be a wow next? 100 points in a season. That's where we're back to now. It is a very, very difficult league to score.
Well,
now.
I think now I hear...
Power plays are down.
But I hear we're having a new summit maybe coming. Pat LaFontaine's considering doing a summit in New York. So maybe that'll change it again.
It's bizarre because 50 is such a tough number to get to right now, and he's 2 points
Darren,
out.
Of, two 30's points tough to get to.
Well, 50 is he might be the only guy this year. Probably right. Will be. He very well could lead the National Hockey League in points,
and
he's not going to be the MVP
without Carey Price. He is the MVP.
But he's not.
No, I know
what,
that.
What is what
but
is
Carey's also having a historic year?
What the goaltending and Ovi hit on it. The goaltending, the team defense is gone to another level. The goaltending has gone to another level. The number of power plays has affected. There's a lot of things
getting
that have affected,
a puck,
but
through,
goaltending
getting
is what's
a puck
really affected.
Through
it.
A shot on goal in a high quality area is an accomplishment
but
in
yet,
itself.
But yet we see a lot of scoring chances in games. We're seeing a lot of scoring chances. So we are getting to the net. Like people say, well, it's this, but the goaltenders are so good, it's amazing.
There's hard to find a player that was more harshly criticized than Alexander Ovechkin last year.
Oh no. People were thinking
well,
he was
on a,
people
on a
were
couple
thinking
of occasions
he was dropping
in his career. Right,
so,
and some was warranted, and probably some was maybe a little over. But
do you think this is his best season? Then
I do by far, and I think we talked about it the first year. If there was anybody that could get through to Ovi, he needed somebody to get through to him. Yeah. And I think
well,
Barry Trotz,
he didn't have a rookie coach for the first time.
Yeah, and Barry Trotz got through to him, and
yeah,
Barry
but he's also
Trotz
been around
did it
now,
in a way,
right?
But Barry Trotz did it in a way that was. That was team building.
10 years in the league now, you start picking up more of the North American culture
but
on and
the
off the ice.
Turnaround between
the room,
last year to this
what's
year.
What's acceptable? What's not
has
acceptable?
To be more than maturity.
Well, we didn't see him drop his stick and do the hot stick. You know, like that's cleaned up. That's cleaned up, and it's.
I get that, but
it's all,
not from
it's just,
this isn't the difference between year five to year.
And, I
10.
I think
this
he's
is year
I think,
to year.
I think he's learned.
But I
he's
think one
learned,
of the
he's learned yeah. that his legacy will not come down to whether he scores 500, no. 600, or 700 goals. It'll be how good did you make your team around you, and did the players like you? Did they believe in
and
you?
Did
you lead them?
Did you win?
Right? Did you win? All of that. He's starting to wake up to all of that.
But I think his game. I think the one thing Trotz was able to do. Is accomplish the fact that Ovi, I think Trotz took pressure off Ovi. I think he took big time pressure off him by making it more about the team and not about him. And I think, and that's yeah. been Trotz's.
Well,
hear
what
that's
Barry
been
Trotz
Gary
said the other day. He said, I call him out in front of his teammates.
Sure. Sure.
And he handles it.
Yeah.
Carey Price was a player that grew by leaps and bounds from the Olympic experience and winning mm-hmm. in Sochi. Jeff Blair brought this up on his show earlier. Do you think the failure at the Olympics has anything to do with what we're seeing from Alexander Ovechkin's growth in the National Hockey League?
I think
and the criticism that
listen,
he took.
How can you argue that it isn't a part of it, a part of the growth, the maturity that has happened over the course of a year and a half, 2 years? All of it's coming into play. I don't doubt it. I don't doubt that theory for a second, but there's a lot of factors here. But the bottom line is he is a team player
how
now for the first time you can look at him.
How could you sit on that bench in Sochi and not realize it? When I watched their top six forwards refuse to come off the ice in power play situations, in five-on-five situations, they were as selfish a group as you could ever watch in a competition in their homeland. And how could you not get it through to your head after watching that? And he was as guilty as anybody over there.
I'm scared to throw this analogy out, but I will. Because it was, 14 years between starting his career to winning a Stanley Cup for Steve Yzerman?
Mm-hmm.
And while he wore the C, you were in that room, and he had a lot of guys that helped him with that leadership role early in first 10 years of his career.
But the turnaround, everybody says it was Scotty Bowman was a turnaround, okay, with Steve Yzerman. And yeah, Scotty was a part of it. But a bigger part of it was the complementary leadership group that was brought into the room, whether it was Larionov and on.
But could Barry Trotz be the Scotty Bowman to Alexander Ovechkin?
Well, I think Barry Trotz is part of it, but I also think it's the complementary, the Niskanen, the Orpik, the maturing of Backstrom. Yeah. I think it was all those things. And Scotty gets a lot of credit for Yzerman, but I'm telling you what, it was the people in that room, every bit as important as Scotty was.
And, we've been in enough rooms, Mac, where we know that, you can read something in the paper, you could hear it from a general manager in a closed-door meeting or a coach, But once you're in the room and the players start looking at you differently, and I believe we all believe that that's happened over the course of the last little while, then you're really in trouble. And I think Ovi maybe came to a crossroads in that dressing room with a few teammates that said, sure, listen, we need you better, more accountable. You got to start thinking about what's best for this hockey club. And
did you think he could have this type of turnaround? We all know he loves putting up numbers.
Yeah.
And he can.
You know this, what?
The best part about it to me is he's still putting up numbers.
You didn't see my point counterpoint with Glenn Healy earlier in the year, coachable or not coachable. I went coachable with Barry Trotz. Mm-hmm. He went the other way.
But
he lost. I won.
I think anybody that says they saw this coming is lying. I didn't see it coming. I thought he'd be better under Trotz. I thought it'd be more of a team game under Trotz. I didn't expect this. I really didn't. I mean, this guy has worked in both ends. This guy is back-checked. This guy took some pride in his defensive game. It took some pride, whether the analytics people like plus-minus or not, he took some pride in that. So I didn't see it coming.
I like Barry Trotz coming in for the first time with his experience.
Did you still think he'd be able to score 50 under Barry Trotz? Not a lot of people would have expected that.
He's one of the best goal scorers before this season in history. Like, there's always the Crosby could still score 40 or 50. He's that talented, okay? Those guys will always have the ability, if they stay healthy, to score 50 goals.
A lot of people were ripping this guy last year.
Including you.
On the air and off the air.
Including you.
And more so you and Healy.
Not me.
Yeah, you
not
and
me.
You no, play. You threw like, Healy under the bus.
I like
but you
Trotz
just
coming
guilty.
In. I like Trotz coming
but
in.
But I think, for anybody to say they thought they'd see this, not a chance.
Trotz coming in, too. I'm just surprised he was still able to score 50 goals.
Yeah. You might have thought he'd get 35 and be
40,
better.
45?
But not
50?
Not this.
In this era? That's impressive.
Now,
but he's been doing it his whole career.
I know, but
he's one of the fastest goal scorers in NHL history.
Did you not expect Barry Trotz to pull him back?
Like, why would you think he'd be a 30-goal scorer?
Because...
because you'd play more team defense.
Team defense.
That's why.
So you expected him to get 50?
No, I expect Stamkos, Ovechkin to score 50 every year.
Yeah.
I do. Mm-hmm. I do.
And how many 50-goal scorers are we going to have? One. When we continue, more on the Vancouver side of things.
And they have the ability to score 60 or 65.
The three stars.
If the stars align.
Yeah. And Ottawa, back at it. When we continue, Hockey Central, Sportsnet 5-9 of the Fan, Simulcast on Sportsnet, the NHL Network in the United States.
Hockey Central at noon is Hockey Central at any time you want it to be. When you subscribe to the podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher, Sportsnet 590 the Fan, on demand. Now, more Hockey Central on Sportsnet 590 the Fan.
Rolling on Hockey Central at noon, Darren Millard along with Doug McLean and Nick Kiprios here in the Sportsnet studio. Tonight, Scotiabank Wednesday Night Hockey, Toronto against Buffalo. Hockey Central at 7 o'clock. Busy night in the network as Philadelphia and Pittsburgh skate on Sportsnet 1 and Sportsnet West. It's Edmonton against Anaheim. San Jose at home to Colorado on Sportsnet 1. That's a doubleheader there. And in the Canadian Hockey League, WHL playoffs continue. A chance for the Brandon Wheat Kings to wrap it up on Sportsnet 360 at 10 o'clock. They are in Edmonton against the Memorial Cup champion Edmonton Oil Kings. Some recapping to do regarding suspensions, starting with Dustin Byfuglien, Nick.
A hearing tomorrow.
Okay.
And they don't play till Saturday, I believe, against Vancouver.
Yes.
And the other interesting one will be Alex Burrows, who ended up with a 5-minute major for interference, I believe. And I don't know if anything will come out of this. I would imagine they'll probably have a hearing on it, but I don't know, Mac.
I'm hearing there's no hearing.
No hearing?
I'm hearing there's none.
That's not confirmed.
I didn't think it was a 5-minute major. I thought it was a 2-minute major. I didn't like the 5-minute call, and I don't think it's a suspension. But
it was dirty.
It was dirty.
But I thought
I'm with you.
I didn't think it was a suspension.
Yeah,
I don't know. Maybe that's just rumor that there's nothing.
There's some like intent, and Byfuglien had that. I don't think Alex Burrows had that intent there.
It was a little bit of intent. I thought it was a cheap shot.
It was accidentally on purpose.
Yes, but I don't think
on purpose accidentally.
But I don't think it's a suspension.
I don't think.
I like the fact that you're hearing that there's no hearing.
Yeah, I said it last night during the game. I didn't think it was a suspension.
Sometimes you just look at me like with this blank face.
Yeah, you're giving me a Kipperism, and I'm not sure if it is or not. I got
to
think about it.
No, I got a couple calls in the helmet discussion. Can we go back to that again?
You never played with a helmet growing up. That's what I think.
Time for the Hockey Central 3 stars.
Oh, no.
You can't remember, can you? I went with Ovi, and the grade 8 was nice enough to come on Hockey Central. It is incredible, that stat that we threw out. That since 0102, nobody, he scored the most goals since 0102, and he didn't come in the league for like five more years. The grade 8 with a 50-goal season, and he enjoyed, look at the twirl of the puck. He enjoyed that twirl. There you go, against the Carolina Hurricanes.
Cool.
You can't remember, can you?
I got it, yeah, I got it.
But you didn't remember.
I got it.
Who sent it to you?
Nobody sent it to me. Nick's next.
Hey, ladies and gentlemen.
Trying to get on TV or what?
Hey, are we almost, how much time do we have?
We have 10 minutes.
Oh, okay. We'll get the kids in the background a little later.
Okay. Your star?
My star, I went with Mark Stone. I think he's got a bright, bright future ahead of him. He's a power guy. Last night, what did he play? 23 minutes, including a great shootout goal. Like a great move.
Great move.
And 2 huge points for the Ottawa Senators. We talk about Hoffman, Stone.
He's got some
bright future.
He's got some personality.
Some bright future
too,
ahead of him. I like him too.
It's the Columbus Zoo. Look.
Hey, star.
Please do not feed the animals.
There's a tour.
Please.
A tour. For those listening on radio, there's a tour coming through.
Probably the goal of the night.
Chris Kreider.
I mean, what a play. And, you know, I mean, I hated the fact that it may have knocked a Canadian or put a Canadian team in jeopardy, but it was a great play. He and Broussard last night. Well, Broussard. I mean, what can you say about Broussard?
Is
I should
he
have
the
picked
fastest
him
guy in the league?
Broussard?
No, you're Kreider. Your pick.
Yeah, he was real good. And that was a great goal.
I think that goal was the reason, the motivation for Dustin Byfuglien falling and do with the cross check.
I think so. Yeah. I think it had something to do with it.
You turn the wrong way and you can't go.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, it's
good picks today. Stone is a good choice for you for change.
So what about this Ottawa team?
Huh.
And Andrew Hammond on the road.
I know.
Being able to get it done.
I think more importantly was how well Ottawa played. I mean, they went out and dominated that game against a Detroit team that's struggling a little bit right now. And they dominated them from start to finish. And I like the fact that they score, 3 minutes or so left in the game to get the point. They weren't going to quit last night. And
the issue
great
now
on Dave and the staff
is Boston. And I like Krejci back in the lineup. I thought he played a strong game. He was around the puck all night.
Makes a difference in that team.
That's taken Boston to a different level. I hear. And I think in the next little while here, he's such a terrific player.
And what's
off,
been good
off year?
What's been good for Boston is the fact that they put Spooner in there with Pastrnak and Lucic, and they've left them as a line.
Yeah.
And you know, and all of a sudden now they got the Bergeron line, they got Krejci, they can move in and out. It gives Claude some options.
Scotiabank Wednesday Night Hockey on Sportsnet. 7 o'clock is Hockey Central. Darren Pang will join Doug McLean and Nick Kiprios and myself here at Hockey Central. Elliot Friedman will be in Buffalo for this one as the Sabres host the Toronto Maple Leafs. Toronto has an opportunity to win 3 in a row.
Yeah, that's about the only opportunity. This is a team that desperately needs to cross a finish line so they can start rebuilding.
Yeah, get it over with. Get the pain over with.
So Toronto's gone through the sweaters thrown on the ice, all that angst.
Bags and over the head.
Buffalo is enduring their home fans cheering when the opposition scores.
I hate that.
That really bugs me.
I hate that.
That tells you everything you need to know.
I want you guys to think this afternoon. I'm going to ask you tonight in the pregame show, and don't answer it right now, but what is worse? Maybe people can tweet me at Darren Millard.
This is a to-the-point question.
What is worse? Is it throwing a sweater on the ice? Is that more disrespectful than cheering when the other team scores, because it's going to improve your draft status. But Nazem Kadri was better last night. James Reimer wins again. Can you take anything from that?
No.
Because it's been so terrible.
No.
They celebrated on Saturday night like they were in the middle of a playoff.
Peter Horchuk's reaction was great, because it was just natural and it was emotional for him. No, I'm not saying. Listen, you didn't like it.
Come on, Mac. What's wrong with
the guy's been dragged through the mud the last.
I was excited for Peter.
What is it that you didn't like? I liked it because at least it was honest.
Come on, Mac.
You can't dump all over that.
I just thought,
what?
Oh my God! It's come to that.
No, that's how bad it is.
How bad it is.
But he wasn't too cool.
No,
I agree. I agree.
And to enjoy a moment.
Peter deserves to be able to do that.
When you've gone through that. Peter Horchuk in particular, when you experience this type of downfall, you've earned the right to pump your arms once.
Yeah, he does.
Right?
Nobody deserves to go through what he's gone
through.
How
bad it's been.
Nobody. It has been one of the worst I've ever seen. This is worse than the Washington Capitals in their first year.
The White Pants. But
this is a disaster.
Come on, like Peter
of
Horchuk,
the nth degree.
Steve Spott and Steve Staios. Okay. That's not ready for prime time.
It's going to be good, because we're going to get an analytics board on it tonight, since the pre-coach and the.
But you know, Buffalo's within 4 points of Arizona.
Timmy
can't
let that happen.
If Buffalo gets up a deuce tonight,
that fan will go nuts that was up cheering. That fan could lose it in Buffalo that's been cheering so hard every time they get scored on. I'd throw him out of the rink. I would search him out and have him barred.
Why?
Because.
It wasn't just one fan. There was a few.
I'd have him barred.
Why?
I'd suspend him from any hockey in the Buffalo area.
Suspend him for cheering.
Yes. I'd suspend him for cheering when we lose.
You know what? I believe you would do that.
I had bags over the head, and I hated that.
Have we seen a 2-minute penalty for someone throwing something on the ice after an announcement? Have we seen that yet?
They should throw him on the ice.
Like, think about that.
No. They announce the warning all the time.
Mm-hmm. Like, seriously, is that really work? Like, you're not going to get one fan that loves the other team that would consider throwing something on the ice?
The threat of being tossed out or being potentially barred from
the building.
Throw
him on the ice and let the players get a
Mac was still coaching in Columbus, he'd have his spotters there.
Yeah, he'd throw the gum at him. the gum.
Spit the gum at him.
Do you want to have everybody come on through?
Yeah, it'd be great.
The tour's coming through.
What's Mitch's
Mitch Kirchner, our boss's. So that's coming up, Hockey Central at 7 o'clock.
Is Mitch a tour guide now here?
Toronto against Buffalo. Hockey Central will tee it up at 7 o'clock. And at 7:30, it's Scotiabank Wednesday.
Get out of the way.
Mitch, you get in here too, so you can get on TV for once.
Sportsnet 1 has a doubleheader, 8 o'clock, Philadelphia, Pittsburgh, and then Colorado and San Jose at 10:30.
Cover that jersey up.
Edmonton, Anaheim at 10 o'clock on Sportsnet West and Sportsnet Oilers. And on Sportsnet 360 tonight, we feature the Canadian Hockey League, the Western Hockey League, the opening round series, the Brandon Wheat Kings trying to take out the Edmonton Oil Kings 4-1.
Who is this?
This is a, I believe, a grade 9 class.
Grade 9?
Coming in for a tour.
Oh, so. I didn't recognize you. Not in Florida.
And who's this?
Sit down. Hi, Sarah.
Sarah who?
Sarah Kirzner.
Oh, hi. How are you?
Sarah,
nice to meet you.
Sarah, who's your class? Where do you go to school?
Stephen Lewis.
Is your dad as cranky at home as he is here?
Dad screams at me if I don't talk close.
Who's your teacher?
Mr. Garisto.
And what grade? 9?
11.
Grade 11? 9?
You're
11.
You're in grade 11?
Yeah.
Oh, congratulations.
Wow. I thought it was a grade 9 class. Somebody told me.
It is.
So this is just a
He only has grade 9.
Sarah Kirzner, do you want to say thanks for listening? Take us off the air.
Thanks for listening. Deuces. Bye.
See you later, everybody. Thanks to Alexander Ovechkin for joining us today.
Good
and Jeremy Rutherford.
Sarah. Good job.